It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's our Tua. It's our Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. It's Thursday. Rocking around. Dolphins, they're joint practicing tomorrow. Bears, I hear the Bears are being pretty physical out there, Leroy. Reading the dirt sheets?
They better be, because their quarterback evidently is throwing it to everybody.
Well, you know, we're going to have to see. We're going to have to see it because Tua was feeling pretty cocky yesterday because the defense hasn't gotten many footballs from him. So it kind of felt like he was saying, hey, go pick on this Caleb Williams. But I will say, I don't know if this means anything, but we're now in year four of Mike McDaniel, you know, trying to set this culture up here down in South Florida. And everybody was raving in Chicago because there was four fights in one practice and tons of live tackling. Now, mind you, Ben Johnson comes from old man Campbell's tree.
Yeah.
Left Detroit.
We used to do, you do one or two of those practices a camp. Keep in mind, Campbell's a lot longer. You have like, you remember back in the day, you had those scrimmages. Remember, we went to one at FIU. Remember we went down there to FIU and the Dolphins had a scrimmage?
No, I don't think that was me, dude. Other intangible host.
No, that was you.
I don't think so, dude. I've never watched a football game at FIU.
Really? All right.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, usually they have one or two scrimmages where they're live.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fair game except for the quarterback. Still don't touch the quarterback.
Yeah, you can't touch the quarterback. That was the other thing in Hard Knocks that angered me, because they were like telling the defense, don't even be near Josh Allen.
Yeah, because you know what they do.
Don't even be near him.
Here's what they do. They won't touch him, but they'll get as close as possible so they can say they got the sack. And then what ends up happening is somebody gets rolled up on, or you try to slap the ball and get the arm, and now your quarterback's hurt. So now you got to be, because I told you how defenders are, right? Yeah, I told you how they are. So now you got to be even clearer, and you got to give that explanation. Don't be close. Don't be around him. Don't nothing. Don't swing your arm. No, you got to break it all down, because they don't listen.
Timbo Slice says, no, it was you, Tobin. It wasn't me. I did not watch the Dolphins scrimmage at FIU.
The love old mixing. No, that's not true. What are we doing? I don't mix people up.
It wasn't me.
All right.
Definitely wasn't. I would remember that. Especially all the things we've been to. I remember the sporting events we've been to. Most of them involve fisticuffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have
gone to a couple of games. Baseball games.
We've gone to some baseball games. We've gone to some hockey games. We've gone to a Heat game.
Yep.
But I don't think we've ever been to a football game together. If I rack my brain,
I had season tickets. Me and Fonz had season tickets to the Canes one year. So
yep,
I would see
the infamous Bandgate.
Yeah. Bandgate. And tailgate, and I see a lot of guys that, you know, because they did a show from the stadium.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
I would say hi to those guys. Other than that, that's it. When I go to a basketball game, I go say hi to everybody.
I understand. I get it. You just, it wasn't with me.
I'm not gonna just.
What do you mean? You don't believe me?
No.
Okay. Why would I lie about that?
Hmm?
Why would I lie about that?
I don't know.
Why would I lie about not going to a Dolphins scrimmage?
I know we did a practice. We had to be at the hottest practice ever.
We did go to a practice together. That's true.
We broadcast from there.
Yeah, we did do that. Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation. Just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one. Dolphins off in Chicago. Tyreek Hill did travel with the team. Dolphins released their first depth chart, Leroy. How about that? Tua Tagovailoa, QB1. How about that?
You know, they released that because they have to, but most coaches don't want to.
So you don't think Tua's locked into QB1?
No, yet. Why? You see? See? But...
Come on, then.
Are you done?
Tyreek Hill, starting wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Waddle.
The other one.
Also starting wide receiver. Hmm.
Tight end. Who's tight end?
They list Waller.
There you go.
Julian Hill is tight end two.
No, he is tight end two as in doo-doo.
I don't like that.
I don't know why I was waiting for that.
Wait! Tobin, wait. Listen, you don't like that.
I don't like that.
How many years have you been betting Julian anytime touchdown?
About a year and a half. I started doing it in the middle of a year ago.
And every time he gets close, he bats the ball around like we're playing volleyball.
I saw he got lit up yesterday by Jordan Brooks. Lit up. I was like, ooh. Big tackle. Running back two, Jalen Wright. Running back three, Alexander Mattison, and the rookie Ollie Gordon, running back four.
I would say this. Having a running back one and a running back two is sometimes a little sketchy because you're mostly playing the circumstances. And sometimes the circumstances would dictate you need a bigger, more physical guy. So, I would say of all the positions, that one you could probably go 2-3 deep as far as who's going to play.
Yeah, and then on this depth chart, they list on the line Chop Robinson, Zach Sealer, Benito Jones, Bradley Chubb, with the linebackers being Dodson, Brooks, and then Jalen Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Storm Duck and Kendall Sheffield are your starting corners. Minka and Ashton Davis, and then your nickel corner, Mike Hilton. Yeah, no real surprises. I will say, though, this Cam Smith's way down on the depth chart.
Not a great sign for your second round pick
from a couple years ago.
I'm going to say this. And you know I'm about as patient as they come when it comes to young players in any sport. But damn, Cam! We need to see something. You can't be in your third year and you're so far down on the depth chart, you holding it. You almost hold the clipboard.
Yep.
So are they using that as motivation? That you're still not doing the things that are needed?
Well, he's not even practicing a lot. Like Mike McDaniel's like, I can't even evaluate him. He's hurt all the time.
I've never understood. You ain't even playing football yet and you banged up. This is the easiest time of year because there's really no real contact. And you play a non-contact position in preseason. You ain't really blowing people up at cornerback. Y'all just chicken fighting and running sprints.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. He's listed behind Jack Jones. He's listed behind Ethan Bonner.
He's listed behind Ethan Bonner?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Intangibles.
I was listed the biggest insult I had. I don't know whether it was motivation or not, because I ended up making a Pro Bowl that year. But they drafted, so I had a good second year, right? And then they drafted, then the next year, I had a slight tear in my knee, but I played through it. But it was a terrible year because I couldn't run. So after that year, they decided, oh, well, we're going to draft Tommy Vardell with the 9th pick. And so we went through all the process, and I was pretty big on, you know, paying my dues, because I knew that, you know, one day I'm going to be a veteran and I'm going to get to reap the benefits of being around. The first depth chart came out. They listed Tommy Vardell in front of me. Let me just tell you, it was an ugly scene.
Was that Lombardi who did that?
No. Belichick. And let's just say I said some things.
What'd you say?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
But
why are you guys whispering?
I yelled some things during stretch that would I like to take back. But in fairness, I did say no disrespect.
That's, well, okay. Then you're clear.
You're clear.
Yeah. So, and I was egged on by Metcalf and K-Mac. They were like, say it with your chest. Just say it. Don't be shy. Say it. If it's truth, everybody know.
So, how did Tommy feel about that?
I said no disrespect.
No fair.
Okay.
Then he can't hold offense.
Because it had more to do with being a rookie and earning your stripes.
Right.
And less to do with how much you really did suck.
Yeah, because who's like, they only got one rookie starting right now, it's Savai Nye, because even Grant, even though, you know, defenses fluctuate.
Right.
But, you know, Tommy Vardell didn't know it was gonna come at you, dude.
You know something's up, right? Because let me tell you why. When they had the rookie camp or whatever, and the running back coach say, that Tommy Vardell put on a clinic. So now we got to pay attention. And so me and Metcalf and K-Mac, we taking notes. Like, y'all see it? I don't see it. And then one running back said, if he the 9th pick, I should have been the first pick in the draft. And he was like, shut up. You ain't even playing. He said, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, man. We'll take a break here on the show. We have someone in there says, today is a good day, chat, because we're one day closer to death. Funny enough, that quote seemed to draw the ire of a former Miami Dolphin. That's next. Oh, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. I want to let you guys know we got a cool contest. If you guys are Zach Brown fans and you want to see the Zach Brown band, all you got to do is listen to the Odyssey app, and you guys could be on your way to see them in December. It's easy to enter. Just log on to the Odyssey app and listen to WQM for 1 hour, and you're entered. For more chances, listen every day, and you might win. The winner receives round-trip airfare to Las Vegas, 2 tickets to see Zach Brown, and a 2-night stay at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas, which is directly connected to the Sphere. Don't miss out. Log on to the Odyssey app now. It's a national contest. For more info, go to odyssey.com/Zach. That's odyssey.com/ZAC. Special thanks to the Messina Touring Group for that. And, you know, I like my chicken fried and a cold beer on a Friday night. Problem?
They're the ones that sing that?
They do sing that. That's their biggest hit.
Yep. Toes in the sand.
Why is he looking at me like that? I don't understand. What's his problem?
I think he's just lost.
I'm not lost.
What's your deal today, man?
Technology.
Huh?
What's your deal today, man? You've been out of sorts ever since the start of the show.
Somebody rebooted my computer and it screwed up all my settings.
Still with the computer?
No, I'm done.
My thing is like, what kind of settings are you talking about? You only do two tabs at the same time.
No, but I'm saying, like, I had to re-sign into everything.
Your email?
No, my email, to Twitch, to, I tried to log into, hey, I think I have two accounts on Twitter. Because the one I signed in to was
one. You got a burner?
I mean, I guess.
You like Pat Riley? You got a burner?
The one I signed into was not the one I use.
Your Astron account.
No, it's not. Let me tell you something. I'm done. My Astron days are over. I'm married. Got kids.
Please make sure we have that saved.
What?
My Astron days are over.
Please clip that.
Clip
that, please.
Dude, you know, when you're younger and you move down to Florida, you ain't used to seeing that much cheeks on the beach, right?
Yep.
I'm used to being up north, full booty coverage, right? You ain't seeing no thongs up north.
I started watching this show yesterday. I think it's called Chief of War. It's with Jason Momoa.
It's a show or a movie?
It's a show. I'm sure it's like a miniseries. I don't know if they're doing like multiple seasons, but it's all the Polynesian wars back in the day, like Wars of Island. But it's a lot of Jason Momoa cheek, I gotta say, because they go loincloth, and he's thonged up, dude.
Is that a good show?
I mean, it's decent. I mean, you know, I'm still trying to. I'm trying to. Oh, it's definitely better than Aquaman.
Okay.
Definitely better than Aquaman, but I'm trying to fill the Love Island void, and nothing's hit yet. You know,
you still have about 2 weeks for the reunion.
Yeah, I got that. And this Villa show is just—it's no good. It's, you know, I thought it was gonna pop, it just hasn't.
It's pretty good, but now that things have escalated, it just feels like I'm watching nothing. Nothing that's real anymore.
If you're referring to the Janae Kenny breakup, I believe, which, look, I don't want to throw any blame on Janae, but if she couldn't see that coming a mile away, I mean, she's blind as a bat, because, I mean, I can tell first episode this Kenny ain't into her. So,
which
you know,
crazy to even see.
He can still go to hell. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Saw Janae on our trip back from Vegas, Leroy. But
question.
Yeah.
Has any of these relationships ever worked out?
So many.
Some have. I mean, except, you know, probably the most famous one is Tommy Fury and Molly Mae.
Which
then,
I think they're back together. I saw it today, this morning.
You know, she's probably doing that for her lovely daughter, but he's a dope and he's going to mess up again.
I'm just saying, like, some of them is just like a union to get more likes.
Well, that's basically what came out with this Janae Kenny thing. Is basically it got leaked that he was with her for clout. That's it.
Right.
Because like here's the reality of it. These guys aren't interesting, and none of them are going to get their own following without being in a couple. And then as soon as they break up, bye bye money. It's a fact. So all of them are boring. It's just how, except for the weird animal guy, but he's the only one who's not on the show, which is why
Rob?
I think people dig it. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Telling you.
He's interested because he doesn't want to be a part of the show. That's what makes him
right,
interesting.
Because he's going to make all his animal Instagram money. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Instagram, by the way. So how about this, Leroy? Mm-hmm. You remember the other day, Mike McDaniel, it went viral because he started talking about death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was
why people think when you talk about death, it's morbid?
Yes, they do. And he was up there and, you know, people were asking him, you know, hey, start the press conference.
You should stand corrected. Good morning. False. Great morning. Let's go.
Why great?
Hmm?
What makes this one great?
Because we're another day closer to death.
So that was all the rage all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it over and over again. I'm on the back nine. So
yeah, we're all marching.
Like it's not. It's not. Like I don't know. I never even like thought it was that big of a deal, right? He was being a smartass.
I didn't think it was that big a deal either. But you know, here's the problem: is when you say that, You got a chance to get Bleacher Report.
Somebody said that was a Pink Floyd reference.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay. That's not the we're burying the lead here. I'm just saying it went viral, okay?
Okay.
Everybody ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike McDaniel, that quote, you know, Bleacher Report's going to take that. They're going to put the quote and they're going to make it an Instagram post, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they got to pick the craziest picture of him.
I know.
It's the worst picture of him. He looks like a loon. And they crazy. Just say, great morning, because we're another day closer to death. And somebody commented on this, if you can see there, Leroy. And Randy that Bush? Is none other than former Miami Dolphins running back, Reggie Bush, who just goes, great hire. And I got to know, because this is now the second time Reggie Bush has gotten into the Instagram mentions on Mike McDaniel. Why does he hate his ass so much?
I don't know. I think sometimes there's what gets lost in a lot of opinions about Mike McDaniel is his knowledge and his ability to do certain things, right? But the problem is that when you're the head coach, it's a lot different than just being the run game coordinator. And when you have the weapons that they have, nobody wants to go to a game just to see you pound the ball. And sometimes you get caught up in that.
So in the previous mention that he had on Instagram, what did he say that was so telling? You're muted, by the way.
He said back after Thanksgiving, Jennifer, mm-hmm. that he was very upset because he was commenting on a First Take clip where Stephen A. Smith was roasting him. And he said, Stephen A. Smith was like, the Dolphins are 0-12 in their last 40-degree weather game. It's over for them this season, which was true. Reggie Bush, after that, he commented and said, fire the coach. He should have never had the opportunity. He sucks.
Wow.
Okay,
that's very
that, I was gonna that say, almost seems one that almost seems like rather personal.
That's what very I'm personal. Saying, dude.
Yeah, like right. why does he hate him so much? What did Mike McDaniel do to you, Reggie? Yeah.
I don't know. And I was like looking, I'm like, did they ever cross paths?
No,
like,
no way they cross paths.
No,
I don't think so. He was Reggie Bush. I don't remember being a 49er in 2015, but Mike McDaniel didn't become part of the 49ers till 2017.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Did he come in for a workout and Mike McDaniel told him you're washed? I don't know.
I don't
That's,
know.
But I'm 100% with you. It seemed personal. Unless Reggie Bush is like you and he's just tired of the run game sucking for the Dolphins. I don't know.
I mean, it's like I can just from being around it enough and listening to coaches and how they think. This definitely seems like a situation where you've determined what your team can and can't do before you've actually seen it. And that's how the offense ended up the way it is, because that's not the style of coach that he's ever been.
Stop
you
it.
Know, but I'm like, when you look at Liam Eichenberg, right?
I must.
I'm more than sure. A lot of people are saying, why would we even try to run the ball behind him? And so that's hence the short passing, because you've already deemed before you see it that you have a player that can't do something. And I would say just for the basis of keeping a defense honest and seeing it with your own eyes, sometimes you got to force it to see whether – this guy can't do it, or he can be coached up, and technically he's a little off. And they never did that.
I find it interesting because I feel like Reggie's – like the knock on Reggie early on, because he was so good in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came into the league, and everybody was like, yeah, but he's not a real running back. He was kind of like Devon Achan, wasn't he? Like a weapon of all or things.
Like Metcalf.
Yeah. And everybody, you know, and then he comes to the Dolphins and he got to be which he did want to do. He wanted to come to the Dolphins and kind of be a real running back. And he did have a 1,000-yard season with the Dolphins, almost 1,100 yards in 15 games. But I was like, why does he hate his ass so much?
Right. So this is my fault, 100%. I went on Google and I put, why does Reggie Bush not like Mike McDaniel? And AI gives me a whole description. And as I scroll down, I see Tobin's video being addressed. It says, you can watch more. You can watch this video to hear more about Reggie Bush's criticism of Mike McDaniel. And it's
my video has no answers. My video is just questions I had these same questions last year.
I just thought
year.
It was funny that it led me to you.
Well,
it does seem like it's coming from nowhere.
Yeah,
to Tobin, it's just random other side of the country guy just all of a sudden. Like, they must have had some kind of interaction.
Apparently there is no personal animosity.
We don't know that. It seems like there is personal animosity.
But maybe it's just,
I would say, from the standpoint of what this team is going to be versus what it has been, this is a big spot for Mike McDaniel.
Big time.
Big
Absolutely.
Spot because it, for me, it has more to do with what style of football they're going to play versus how much success they're going to have in certain areas.
Dade South says, Reggie Bush is just saying enough of them, just like Tobin did with J.J. Redick. So you just think Dade South just sees Reggie Bush just sees Mike McDaniel on television. I'm just sick of his face.
Pretty much.
He's just tired of him.
I think that's what it is.
It could be. Reggie Bush could just be a football fan and just be like, I'm tired of the weird guy. Yeah, he just doesn't get the gimmick. It's possible.
We thought the coach from the Eagles was weird.
Oh, Sirianni, for sure.
Yeah, but then he won the Super Bowl and went to another one, and now you're like, you know what?
I'm trying to figure it out, dude. I'm trying to figure out why Reggie Bush doesn't like him.
Yeah, sometimes it just...
Can we get him on the show?
I tell my daughter, sometimes somebody's not going to like you because you put your left shoe on first. That's it. People just find things to not like people. And you can't get caught up in that. If you get caught up in why does so-and-so not like me, they've already won.
He did get his Heisman back, right?
Yeah. He was in the Heisman commercials.
I love those commercials.
My favorite thing about college football coming back is those commercials.
Is the Heisman House?
Yes, I love the Heisman House.
So good.
So good.
So good. I keep in mind, I've been on the other side of this. Some people look at Mike McDaniel as being weird and yet entertaining with some of the things he says, right? He's in Cleveland when they absolutely hated Bill Belichick because he said nothing and he was a boring dude. So
it kind of feels like if I may, I don't mean to connect dots here. It feels a little bit like Reggie Bush to Mike McDaniel is a little like Leroy Hoard to Aaron Rodgers.
You know what? No, that did cross my mind.
It feels a little
but
I have never attacked Aaron Rodgers like that. Right? Name something I said about Aaron Rodgers that was not true.
That's probably what Reggie Bush is
there's
saying
so much
too.
In the archives I'd have to dive into. I need to do a research project to bring all the data.
True. That he has lost big time playoff games with more weapons than he won the Super Bowl with. Why do we think that at 40 plus years old that he's going to help a team do anything?
Do you think Mike McDaniel one time heckled him when USC played Colorado State when he was a wee lad?
I don't know.
He never forgot it.
I'm just very confused.
I've never had a grudge like that with coaches. I don't know.
I just want to know if it's real hate or just sports hate. That's what I want to know.
That sounds real, dude.
Sounds real.
Sports hate, it usually comes with a chuckle or a smiley emoji or a LOL. You know what I mean?
No,
he ain't putting nothing.
And you're a polarizing person in Reggie Bush. You're posting that because you know people are going to see it. You want people to know how much you hate him.
No, he's a very, he's got a lot of fame and notoriety.
Exactly.
Of course. He's of course, his comment's going to go right to the top on Instagram. And he's going to get, what did he get? Like, at this point, he had, I think he's up to like thousands of likes on this. So everyone's going to see that. But this one definitely is more like snarky, like, great hire. But if you know
I,
that
like,
last.
I would say this. Sometimes good coaches or guys who can coach, it takes them a while to organize everything and nobody has the time for all that. So let me be clear. Like, as much as I say Mike McDaniel's a good coach, if he don't get the team where not playing the type of football that you have hope in the future that can win, then he's not going to be here. Right? And we won't care about the quirkiness or whatever. But I do believe that he's a good enough coach that he can kind of turn it around.
No, I just think it's an interesting cross because it does feel like, I don't know, like I feel like Reggie Bush all time. But in the NFL, I feel like people thought he was kind of a little bit too much razzle-dazzle than real running back. Was that not like the knock and why he wasn't as good a player?
Put it this way.
He was a good player, but he wasn't like what everybody thought he was going to be in college. Was he the number two overall pick?
No, I think he was two third? Or three.
Because that was the Vince Young draft.
Here's what I would say. I would say that Reggie Bush was like Michael Beasley.
Yeah.
In that you knew he had talent.
Ahead of his time.
But no, right. Like he was like the first true Deebo Samuel, where you could put him anywhere in your offense and just use him to create mismatches or whatever, and people tried to put him in one spot. Right.
Deebo Samuel loves Mike McDaniel.
Right. No.
Weird. Anyway, take a break. We'll mix things up on the other side. All right, welcome back, you rascals. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM.
What a happy song.
Yeah, dude.
Even I know who this is.
It's Paramore. Not even like a happy, it's not necessarily a happy song.
But the beat.
But like the beat is so contagious.
Yeah.
Are they hitting a xylophone there in the beginning?
A what? You wouldn't know what a xylophone was if it came and hit you on the head.
I know exactly what a xylophone is, dude. I've had music class before.
I used to play the xylophone.
What?
I used to play it, yeah.
Not like one of the big ones?
I need a refresher on what a xylophone is.
It's like a piano, but like the bells.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's what I thought.
I had like the very big one that was in band.
Was it wood or was it metal?
It was metal. I don't remember. This is high school.
If it was wood, would it make any like in the sound?
Well, yeah, it could. It definitely can reverberate a little bit.
Mm. I played it a little bit in elementary school and high school.
Hmm. And you didn't stick with the xylophone, huh? Such a cool instrument.
I didn't. It is a really cool instrument. I liked it.
Nobody's making hits like with the xylophone other than Paramore. Right there with the steel drum.
Those sound cool too.
My favorite instrument in band was the people that did all that damn marching and then pulled out the little piccolo. I'm like, come on.
Let us get to the mix bag here before we close out the hour. All right, well, we got some quarterbacks talking. One that is near and dear to Leroy's heart. Aaron Rodgers is asked at Steelers camp what his plans are for the preseason games and if he'd play in any of them. Here's what he had to say on that.
You know, it's an interesting conversation. I think Mike and I will have that at some point. I don't think it's in the plan for me to play this week, but whatever Mike wants to do, I'm fully on board. If he wants me to go out there and play, I'll play. If not, then I won't. I've said a lot, you know, with all due respect, then I can say whatever I want. Preseason football is not necessarily real football because the defenses just don't do a whole lot. And the offenses don't either. So you go out there with a very limited playbook against the defenses playing one-eye zone, one-eye man, or two-eye zone. And there's not much pressure. There's oftentimes communication between the coaches about, hey, we're not going to pressure this week, or hey, we need to see a little bit of pressure. It's really about the operation. Now, that is where you can actually gain something from the preseason is you got 40 seconds, right? There's a play clock out here, but it's not always adhered to. So you have 40 seconds to call the play, to get the line of scrimmage, to get us in the right situation, and to go out and do it. I think there's something to be gained for that. But as opposed to kind of when I got in the league, I would say, there's less schematic stuff that you're going to see in the regular season.
Oh, let me just take this for you. Hey, dude, shut up. That's a lot of words for the preseason. Sucks, dog. Like, enough, all right? We get it. You don't want to play. Like, you know, it's a,
now, if
it's
I would have said those, if I would have said those same exact words, what would you have said?
You hate Aaron Rodgers.
Right!
But he's being so such a blowhard.
But why can't I say it about you?
Oh, my God.
But that's what drives me crazy about him. Listen, you heard what he said. You heard everything that he just said, right? That means if you're making that much of a stink, you better not suck during the regular season, dude. Right?
Anyway, from a guy that Leroy hates to a guy Leroy loves, Joe Flacco. Especially Brown's version, Joe Flacco. Unk.
No, no, no. Here's the thing. That dude has the expiration date of bad yogurt. Right? You're going to get 4 or 5 weeks of the Joe Flacco, Hall of Fame Joe Flacco. But when that yogurt gets bad, everywhere he's gone. Everywhere he's gone. You get 4 or 5 weeks of Joe Flacco coming in and changing the trajectory of your team. Then you get there. So...
Well, Joe Flacco, he was discussing how is it that he's the only healthy Browns quarterback at 40?
Listen, I think who knows why I'm the one guy, but I think the fact that I am 40 and here is just like I've been fortunate with my body. I've learned how to take care of it. I mean, there is part of me that wishes we were doing 3-hour practices because I could show that I could last through those too. It's not that much of an accomplishment to kind of come out here and make it through a training camp. But I do feel like if we were grinding 3 hours, 2.5 hours every day, I could still go through that too. I wish I could show that a little bit. But hey, you know, I think some of it, a lot of it is taking care of your body and learning how to do that. You gain knowledge as you're in the league. But also, like, you just, you know, throughout my football career, I've had a couple injuries, but most of the ball, I've been pretty fortunate on just what I've been, you know, what I've been given and the situations I've been given. So,
man, he just called those young guys soft.
I mean, there's nothing worse than when a young guy gets hurt. That means the vet's got to take more reps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's rough.
Joe Flacco's like, can we bring in Stu Huntley? You know, I don't know, more reps. Anyway, Shedeur Sanders is going to get the start tomorrow for the Browns. That's what everybody – it's going to be the most reacted to first preseason game.
But I would say, you know what's crazy is that – so maybe his measurables don't quite fit what you're looking for, right? So that made him move down. But you can't tell me the guy's not a winner and that he hasn't made plays to win football games. And I'm not comparing the two, but this is the same exact thing that happened to Tom Brady. And that he was at Michigan and he kept getting replaced. But then when the team needed a big drive or him to bring the team back, they put him back in. And there has to be something. So maybe you don't look the part, right? Maybe you aren't built like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. Maybe you're not that prototypical guy. But you've proven that you can win. And so hopefully, with the confidence that he has in himself, that shows when he actually gets an opportunity to play. And then people would then immediately just flip it to, he's a gamer.
Mm.
Right? So just because he got drafted where he did is not an avenue for failure. Right? It just means that you don't fit the prototypical body type or arm strength or whatever as a quarterback. It doesn't mean you can't be successful. We've had a ton of quarterbacks that had a lot of success, and a lot of them were not drafted in the first round or top five.
That is our mixed bag. Quick one today as we went a little long on the Reggie Bush, Mike McDaniel stuff. We'll take a break, get you caught up with your headlines. Back with more for this.